Scripture reading this evening, before the message comes from the Gospel according to Mark, I'll be reading from the first chapter, verse 21 through 28. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in this synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Here ends the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. At an almost dizzying speed, the phrase fake news has morphed from a description of a social media phenomenon into a journalistic cliche and now an angrily used political slur. I was fascinated this week to look back again at how the term fake news has evolved. In mid-2016, BuzzFeed's media editor, Craig Silverman, noticed an unusual stream of completely fabricated news websites, all registered in the same town in Macedonia, called Veliz. Silverman and a colleague started to investigate these sites, and shortly before the U.S. presidential election, they had identified at least 140 news websites, which were not actual news organizations at all, publishing all sorts of completely fabricated stories, mostly geared for social media sharing in the United States, often using sensational titles, also known as clickbait. These young people in Veliz, Macedonia, had little interest in American politics, but what they did realize was that there was a tremendous amount of money to be made by promoting their fiction with Facebook advertising. So the U.S. presidential election, specifically Donald Trump, was and of course still is a very hot topic on social media. So what they did was disguised these things as legitimate news articles and then paid Facebook to have their articles pop up in Americans' Facebook feeds. Now, among their most clicked articles were examples like these titles: "Pope Francis shocks the world and endorses Donald Trump for president." "An FBI agent suspected in Hillary email leaks found dead in apparent murder-suicide." Those were the most clicked. These and hundreds of others were completely false and were not written by actual news organizations at all, and thus began the term fake news. But now the phrase fake news evokes much more than just those get-rich-quick Macedonian teenagers. President Trump began to use the term to discredit news organizations and reporters with which he disagreed or felt were being biased against him in their reporting. But to be fair, Hillary Clinton gave a speech on December the 8th, 2016, which she used the phrase at least. She said, mentioned the epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year, and then filled in some blanks. So she was aware of it, of the phenomenon. Probably used it a different meaning, to be fair. This phrase and this trend has been noted by people on all sides of the political aisle and the spectrum of American politics. Today, if you go and you Google the term fake news, you'll see over 5 million results pop up already. Those are just the fresh ones in 2018. And the fresh ones in 2018, the usage of the term on Twitter, fake news, has been used over 2 million times. So there's a lot going on there. Claire Wardle of First Draft News, which is a truth-seeking nonprofit based at Harvard University's Shorenstein Center, said, The reason I don't like the phrase fake news now is that it's used as a term to describe everything, and so there's really no meaning. Whether it's a sponsored post, an ad, a visual meme, a bot on Twitter, a rumor, people just use the term fake news against any information they don't like. And that's really a complex problem. She goes on to say in the article that if we're going to start thinking of ways we can intervene, we have to have some clear definitions. She went on in the article to say that an obsession with the phrase is actually hurting the credibility of otherwise credible news outlets. She said, "My concern now is the kind of reporting we see on disinformation. People are saying, I don't know who to believe or trust. Everything's broken. It's all up for grabs. Who's fake news? Who's not? Who's the one that gets to decide who's fake news and who's not?" She said, "If someone, for example, starts calling a telephone a banana and has a really big megaphone, that doesn't mean that the rest of us should stop calling a telephone a telephone." The part that remains unclear, how much did fake news impact the U.S. election, and how much does actual fake news impact our daily lives today? Well, in our own personal lives, the stuff that's pretty boring that we just do and have to do, fake news might have very little direct impact. But the truth is, we've all seen our share of counterfeits. I'm not talking about news now. I'm talking about people. You know, when the friend we thought we had turns out to, well, not be such a good friend and turn out to be a pretty phony excuse of one. Or the time when someone that we had deeply admired, I mean really looked up to, disappoints us so badly that we have to take down the pedestal we had so affectionately built for them right in the middle of our lives. Maybe the only thing worse than discovering someone we know or love has been hiding something from us is when we ourselves are exposed, maybe even unexpectedly to ourselves, as a fake, a hypocrite, a poser. No one likes a phony. What we deeply admire, the truth is, what we deeply long to see more of and deeply value and appreciate by the way we live our lives are sincere, down-to-earth, authentically imperfect human beings who know it. And we love them anyway, because they're not hiding anything. Enough fake news, enough fake people. We don't expect perfection, but we do long to see authenticity, don't we, in our lives? At least when it comes to the people that we want to know and love. Enters Jesus in the scripture from Mark's gospel today. His authenticity is noted immediately by the author. They, those in the synagogue, the author said, were astounded at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes were the pros. The scribes were the scholars. They were the highly educated clergy, the ones that had the credentials to teach in their tradition. But apparently something rang more true in Jesus' teaching. His teaching was markedly different. It had authenticity. It had a certain authority, not because of his learnedness, but because of his content and, I dare say, delivery. It had authenticity. It was real. It was life-giving. And though he did not have the same formal training as the scribes, his teachings were definitely not fake news. They were actually probably more real than the teachings of the scribes. Now, we like that part of the scripture lesson. I could stop there and we could feel good about things. But that's not how I roll. The part of the scripture that most of us modern people are just not quite sure what to do with is what comes next. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, demons. What we've learned now is that people 2,000 years ago called many illnesses that they didn't understand demons. And they lumped them into that category. Most mainline scholars have uncovered historical evidence that people with mental illnesses, in fact, were often classified as demon-possessed. They didn't understand that, you know, this was 2,000 years ago. This doesn't mean they weren't afflicted, and it doesn't mean they didn't need or receive some kind of healing. It just means the culture didn't know how to help people with illness, be it mental, physical, or some other handicap or affliction. It wasn't fake news on purpose. People just didn't know what we know about medicine and about the human psyche and body. And yet with all the information that we do know about mental illness or the epidemic that is depression that so many of us face in our daily lives, the various cycles of stress, insomnia, and anxiety that so many of us deal with day in and day out in our age, the truth is there are many people who stand in need of healing today. To put it another way, many of us battle our own demons. Some of our demons hang on fairly tightly, maybe from something traumatic that happened to us in our childhood, or maybe our adolescent years, maybe a parent or a teacher, a relative, or a sibling, or a peer, someone, somewhere along the way, maybe they hurt us badly, and while we function today, we do so in spite of a great deal of pain, sometimes requiring a tremendous amount of effort and energy, even just to accomplish the everyday things that we know we really need to get done in our routines. Our personal demons come in all shapes and sizes. Some of us battle our weight, some battle our health, others battle our finances. Others have experienced the demon of a nasty divorce that just won't let go. And when some of our private struggles become such a focal point for our energy and a source of constant strain, it's as though they have grown lungs and stolen the wind from our life sails in order to generate their own oxygen in life at the expense of our own happiness and well-being. Some of you are beginning to see why you should never pretend as though demons do not exist today. The demons are alive and well. We just don't call them demons too often. But most of us face personal, very private demons in one way, shape, or form each and every day. There are also demonic forces at work that we share. Public, even systemic or systematic demons that kind of take on a life of their own, either because of our actions as a society or because of our inactions as a society or as a church even. If you don't think racism is a demon that is alive and well, you must not have been watching the news following last summer's events in Charlottesville, where white supremacists and Nazis marched the streets carrying torches and chanting, "White lives matter. You will not replace us. Jews will not replace us," they said. "Blood and soil," was their chant. All the while, many of them dressed just alike, but so proud they didn't hide their faces, just wore their white shirts and khakis carrying their tiki torches. Racism is what sociologists call a systemic problem. In the church world, we could say a systemic or systematic demon. What most of us notice are the blatant contributions in racism that people make in their areas of personal prejudice or bigotry, or the hateful expressions of a mob or a crowd like those at Charlottesville. But what we don't notice is how inaction and indifference to matters like police brutality and other race-related issues of justice contribute to the demon of racism. We don't notice how things like fake news, when left unchallenged, create fear and animosity towards brown and black bodies and immigrants in our country. An example of this has been brought to light by the DACA standoff in American politics. The group of folks we're talking about that we call the Dreamers are mostly people who were brought here at a very young age and are still somewhat young. They're undocumented migrants who were brought into the U.S. by parents or relatives and who are now facing potential deportation, even though they didn't come to the U.S. on their own free will, and even though the U.S. is the only country that almost any of them call home. Fake news has certainly had a field day and has contributed to the systematic demon of racism in regards to these Dreamers and to DACA. Did you know that these folks who came here as children, in order for them to become a citizen, must first get a green card or be granted permanent residency? And did you know they cannot get either one because they're undocumented? Then the fake news has muddied the waters by spewing lies like, "Well, these people don't pay taxes and they're all on welfare." Did you know they actually do pay taxes at a rate of an average of $11.64 billion a year, and that none of them qualify for welfare benefits because they don't have a card? and they cannot be criminals, or they cannot apply for DACA. All of these bits of fake news say something to the contrary, and in essence are breathing life into the systematic, public, demonic forces of racism. But racism is just the tip of the iceberg of our shared systemic demons that we face in our corner of the world. We don't even have time to list them all. Homophobia, Islamophobia, sexism, ageism, all the isms you could want to list, which are more than we have time for. There are so many more demons that we share as a society. And do you know what the common thread in them all is? It's all fear. Fear. It's fear of the other, fear of change, fear of the other party's candidate winning and mine losing, fear of losing one's own place in a society, fear of being replaced, fear of the known, fear of the unknown, fear of not having enough, fear of failure, fear that has been falsely ingrained by one's horrible attempt at religion, fear of losing, fear of what happens if I actually win, because then what next? The truth is, fear does terrible things to human beings. All of us. Fear is the food that demons feed on. Fear is the stuff nightmares are made of. And when one is driven by fear, one cannot be driven by love at the same time. And when one is not driven by love, one leaves the door open for demonic forces to assemble, breathing life into the dead stuff fear leaves behind. The scriptures say that perfect love casts out all fear. And I would add to that, that fear left unchecked and unbridled will leave no room in one's life for love. Like this man in our story from Mark today, if we're honest, we too struggle at times to see ourselves defined by anything else but our own demons. When we're tired, when we're weak, when we're stressed, when we're depressed. But it is my great pleasure standing before you ministering in the name and tradition of Jesus the Healer to remind you, my friends, each of you, that you are more as a human being than the worst thing you've ever done. You are also more as a human being than the worst thing that has ever been done to you. And all of the broken places in our lives, they make us no less beautiful in God's sight. The pain we may carry, the scars we may bear, the hatred, the bitterness, you know, the weight of the world that you so often feel upon your shoulders when you're not doing all so hot, all that stuff doesn't define you. You may be consumed by the feeling that your pain and your struggles do define you, that there is no escape, that all hope is lost. But you know something? Those are just the demons talking. This is not the reality of the situation. This is not the authentic teaching of Jesus that sets free the captives and those held in bondage, just like we're talking about. My prayer for you, my hope for you, my friends, is that you might experience healing and hope in a very tangible way as I remind you tonight that you are more than all of the pain you've ever experienced. You are more than even your worst mistakes and all of your struggles and failures. You are a beloved child of God in whom God is well pleased. And I say to the demons that hound you the same thing Jesus said, be gone. Now, I don't pretend merely saying these words fixes anything all by themselves, but just maybe me saying them to you tonight might just help you want to let go. Will you? As for the giant problems that we share, those societal demons, if you will, the ones I've mentioned already, like racism and sexism and homophobia and all the other social injustices and challenges that we face as a people, they were not created in a day. They won't be healed in a day. And we do have lots of work to do. And the truth is, we must become even more intentional and less passive in addressing them. And as you hear me say time and time again, even in our just few weeks together as Christians, we are called to stand against evil. But my friends, we are also called to stand for love. When Jesus approached the man in Mark's story today, And did you notice something? He didn't reprimand the man for having the demons. He reprimanded the demons themselves. Jesus saw that this man was so much more than his demons. That raises a question, I think, that's really important. Do we really believe this ourselves? About ourselves? And even tougher, do we really believe that our neighbor is also more than the worst thing they've ever done? Than the pain that they may experience and see them as a beloved child of God, even when they're so annoying or hateful? You fill in the blank. Do we really believe that racists are more than their racist words or deeds? Do we really believe that homophobes are more than their fearful, hateful words or deeds? Do we really believe that murderers are more than their hateful acts? As Christians, it's a tough road to stand against evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves and not become so angry at the bad stuff that we lump in the person. It's tough. As Christians, we're called to see the best in ourselves, the very highest potential, but not only for ourselves, but in others as well. This doesn't mean we don't call out evil and challenge its grip on society or on individuals, but it does mean that we don't believe the fake news that's out there about us. And it does mean we don't believe the fake news that's out there about others. The truth is, there's always hope. The truth is, however slim, healing is always a possibility, even for the person that votes differently than you, even for the person who hates everything you stand for and acts like a total jerk. There's healing available for that person, just like there's healing available for you and for me. To believe anything less is to let the demons win. We won't listen to the fake news. That's not who we are when we get it right. We'll listen to the good news that each person is a child of God, even when we don't fully live up to it. Thanks be to the one who heals and is still healing. Amen.
Amen. Amen.